Thank you, Anna. I will call to order the first meeting of the State Street Campus Garage Hawthorne Court Ad Hoc Public Art Committee. It's quite a mouthful. Calling to order at 12:34. So thank you all so much for joining today. We're going to start with a brief introductions, just to make sure everybody knows who all is on the committee. I did send out the roster in advance, but I thought this would be a great opportunity for everyone to share a little bit more about your role, your connections to the site, your connections to downtown, your connection to public art. I will save myself for last so that then I can launch into the next agenda item. So I'm just going to go around in order of how I see everybody on the screen. So Peggy Gunderson, would you like to share a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hi, everyone. Peggy Gunderson. I own Strategic Brand Marketing at the top of State Street. I also chair the Business Improvement District and on the Executive Committee for Downtown Madison, Inc. It's great to be here with all of you.
Excellent. Thank you, Peggy. TL.
Hi, everybody. Excuse me. I'm TL Luke. I'm an illustrator here in Madison. I'm also a commissioner with the Madison Arts Commission. And I have been working closely with Downtown Madison and City of Madison and a lot of different public arts aspects. And so I'm very excited to be involved in this ad hoc. So thank you for having me.
Thank you, TL. Catherine.
Hi, I'm Catherine Alkoskis. I'm the chief curator at the Chazen Museum of Art at UW-Madison, right across the way almost from the Lake Street Garage.
Excellent. Thank you. Miley.
Hi. I grew up in Madison. My name's Miley. I'm a art major at UW and I live on campus. It's nice to meet you all.
Thank you, Miley. And I hope the end of the semester is going well for you.
Yes. Stressful. Thank you.
Good. Faisal.
Hello. Faisal Abdullah. Professor in art, associate dean for the arts. Yep. And apologies if my screen goes off. I'm expecting a delivery. So I'm here, but you just might not see me.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much. All right. We do have a couple of members who are not able to join us today. So I'm just going to multiple presenter. Anna, would you mind, can you turn on the ability for me to share my screen? Otherwise, I'll send you this link to where this file is, but it should work. Ha, there we go. Okay, thank you. There we go. Okay. So this is the list of appointees from the mayor's office for this committee. And I just wanted to show you sort of which role everyone is filling. So this was also clear in the resolution. But the two members that are not able to join us today because they had commitments, emergency commitments they needed to handle. One is our other Madison Arts Commission member, Tony Sansalone, who is the Director of Development at the Wisconsin Humanities and is also a recent graduate of the Bolt Center Arts Administration and Policy Program. And then the District 2 Alder, who is currently Juliana Bennett, who was also unable to join today. The resolution states that whoever the District 2 Alder is the person who will serve on this ad hoc committee. And there are spring elections coming up for alders. So currently, Juliana is the District Alder. Whether or not she will continue, you know, and in this position, we'll just have to wait until after spring elections. We'll see how that goes. So I also want to give staff a little bit of time to introduce themselves. So Maria, would you like to share a little bit?
Hi, everyone. So I work with engineering for the City of Madison. I work specifically in facilities management as a construction manager. So I am the construction manager on the State Street Campus Garage Project, and then working on the public-private partnership with the housing component as well.
Perfect. Thank you, Maria. Brian, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, Brian Cooper. I'm an architect in the facilities group in engineering. I work with Maria. I've been working on the project since, I think, 2021 when the development teams first submitted their proposals for the project. And then I've been involved ever since with the design and construction. And this is, we have many projects with a percent for art component at the city facilities, but this is the first one where we've had this kind of committee. So just kind of tagging along here to learn how the process works. And anyway, nice to meet all you, and look forward to the process.
Great. Thank you, Brian. Anna, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Anna. I am technically an admin clerk for Planning Division, but I primarily support the arts program. So if we have any issues with meetings, I'm the person you should contact.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And my name is Mary Rose Eckberg. My title is Community and Cultural Resources Planner for the Planning Division of the City of Madison. My position is split part-time in, with public art and the other half with historic preservation planning. I have a background in arts administration. I spent 6 years at Overture. I was the assistant director of the public history project at UW-Madison for a period of time. So I worked with Catherine on the exhibition that that program held at the Chazen. And I'm really excited about this project. This is a very big project for us in terms of both the budget size, but also like the community impact. And we want to make sure that this is done in a way that really feels like welcoming to the whole community, to the State Street community, and to the UW-Madison community, since obviously this garage has a big impact on the constituents there. So I just want to go through a couple brief things about the committee. So this is in the resolution, but this is the purpose of the committee. So it's to review submitted proposals with support from planning, purchasing, eventually may meet one of our purchasing colleagues who will assist with the scoring and review process, and engineering division. And obviously we have Maria and Brian on the call from that division today, and to make recommendations on preferred artists, designs, infrastructure, and other aspects of the Percent for Art projects to staff. We will then take all of those recommendations to through the city process, so to the Madison Arts Commission. TL and Tony both serve on MAC, so they will be there to help represent that. And then ultimately, the recommendation will go to Common Council. So there will be other opportunities for the public to engage on this project at those public meetings. And of course, you guys will all be invited to those as well. And the committee will make efforts to engage and receive feedback from UW-Madison, specifically the student population. And this was a clause that was added in by the District 2 Alder, who just wanted to make sure that we had that connection with the UW students. So we'll be looking for recommendations on the best ways to connect with students. We always invite you guys to send opportunities you may hear about that would be good for us to, you know, to be present at. I will send this PowerPoint out after the meeting, and it'll also be linked in Legistar, and there's a link to the resolution. But just so you know, at any point, you can go to the City of Madison's Legistar page and just search State Street Garage Public Art, and it'll come up. That's the easiest way to find it. A few things about committee meeting and expectations for those of you who have not served on a committee like this before. I did send out in the initial meeting, notifying you that you were appointed, that there is a committee training available. I can resend that link as well. That has information on like Robert's Rules of Order and what our meeting expectations are. For our committee is 7 people, so quorum is 4. And quorum is required within 15 minutes of the meeting start. So if you are going to be late, or if you are going to not be able to make it, please email us as soon as possible, because then we will be able to determine whether or not we can have the meeting. And if you are running late, please absolutely try to be here before the 15-minute mark. As soon as we hit the 15-minute mark, if we don't have quorum, we have to legally cancel the meeting. Please do not reply all to any emails. I do try to make sure that I BCC people so that that doesn't happen. But if anybody ever sends an email to you as a collective group, do not reply all, because it could break quorum, break public records law. So we don't want you to be engaging in conversation about this topic via email or in any way that could break prevents the public from being able to access that information. Emails are considered public records, so anything you may send to staff involving this project could be disclosed if there's a public records request. So keep that in mind. We prefer that you keep your camera on to ensure that we have quorum as you are able. Members of the public can attend and may register to comment. And if they do, they're registered to a public comment time of 3 minutes. We did have a registrant today from the public, but I don't believe he's on the call. So But we will let the chair know in advance of any public registrants, and then they will call on them to speak. Members of the public cannot turn on their cameras, so that's just a note that if they turn them on, we do have to turn them off unless they're an invited guest speaker who is presenting on an agenda item. There is no chat function in this version of Zoom, so don't try to find that or communicate via that, because per our like legislation and the way that we do public meetings, that's can't be permitted. And then you can use the raise hand tool at any time, or raise your hand on camera if you would like to speak or make a motion. And myself or the chair will kind of keep an eye on everyone's cameras and try to make sure that we know if somebody's trying to speak. So that is the kind of the bulk of the information about introductions and sort of meeting expectations that I wanted to cover. Before we move on to information about the actual garage, we do have to elect a chair and vice chair. So what I would like to begin with is asking if there are nominations, if anyone would like to self-nominate as chair. TL, thank you. So TL has nominated themselves as chair. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Catherine. And I'm assuming unanimous consent unless I see otherwise. So raise your hand if you object. Okay, excellent. Thank you, TL. I appreciate you volunteering and I look forward to working with you as chair. So thank you. Motion passes. Okay, the next step is to elect a vice chair. Is there anybody who would like to nominate themselves to serve as vice chair? And so this is, if TL is ever not able to make a meeting, you would be in charge of running the meetings in TL's place. I'm watching my cameras to see. Oh, Peggy, thank you so much for nominating yourself. Do we have a second? TL, thank you, excellent. And if we have any objections, please raise your hands. Okay. Fantastic. Peggy, thank you so much for serving as vice chair. I really appreciate it. If you have any questions on the role, I know you serve, you know, on a lot of other committees, reach out, but yeah, fantastic. Okay, well, I appreciate you guys making that so smooth. So up next, what I'd like to do is hand it over to Maria to actually talk through the project site and what this is looking like and where we are at. And what the everything, it's a little complicated because there's multiple projects on this site. So this will be really helpful background for you guys. Thank you, Maria.
There we go. Can you guys see my screen? Awesome. So like Mary Rose mentioned, I'm just going to give an overview of the project. For a little bit more context, we've been under construction for about a year. I will dive into that schedule, the design, and kind of which aspects of the building we're expecting maybe to people look at from an arts perspective. So let me dive into this, and I welcome kind of any questions as we go through. So I think we're all familiar where the project is, but it is at 415 North Lake Street. So right downtown in the Isthmus and right at the base of State Street in between State and University. This is a more blown up image. So this is a Google image of the previous existing State Street campus garage that was demoed, shown here in blue, but again, right off Lake Street, University to the south and State Street to the north. Just more context for where we are. This building right over here to the right, that's the Francis Street garage. So also owned by the City of Madison. In its previous arrangement, there were bridges connecting the two. Those have been now demoed, but we are going to reconstruct half of those bridges back. And then Hawthorne Court separates the two projects. And of course, that is an important piece to what we're hoping to have incorporated for this arts project. This drawing here is showing the design of the actual garage. So again, just context, same orientation as the picture you saw before, Lake Street, Hawthorne Court. Higher level, the city portion of the project is the garage, and then housing is gonna be built on top. But the housing program does also have some space here on the first floor that we're looking at. In terms of kind of orientation within this development, you would enter right here off of Lake Street to get into the garage. And there is also a bus terminal on the north side of the project that's shown right here, kind of in that light blue. So the buses that will be utilizing this space are like your Greyhounds, your like not like the BRTs or city buses. It's going to be ones coming in and out of Madison. And they will go up Hawthorne Court into the bus terminal and then back out onto Lake Street. So this first floor of the building is a bus terminal, a parking garage, and has some housing space to it. This next drawing shows kind of that parking circulation I mentioned. So again, public parking entering here at the north, the buses entering off Hawthorne and then exiting that direction. So this is an elevation view of the project, giving you a better idea of how it's separated between the garage and the housing. So this blue line right here, everything, most everything south of it is the garage, and everything above is the housing. So there is a little bit of housing on the Lake Street front of the building, but the rest of it is the bus terminal and the garage. So again, for context, on our left side of the screen is the Francis Street Garage, Hawthorne Court, those bridges that we're going to build back, and then garage housing. I think this drawing helps a little bit too. So this is the Lake Street frontage. So these windows right here are those housing units that are within the garage footprint, and then everything above is all exclusively housing. Everything back here, that's all garage. Here's the Francis Street Garage, and back over here is Hawthorne Court. Some more elevation views that we were looking on the top right is that Lake Street frontage again. This one on the bottom left is the Hawthorne Court elevation. So that's an important piece for you guys to kind of get an idea of what that would look like. So mostly parking garage, kind of a lot of handrail, guardrail going up, and some exposed block on the two ends. I included some photos of the active construction site because I think it's just a lot easier to see what real life things look like versus all these design drawings. So I think these drone photos were from November, but the contractor by the end of the month is going to have all of the structure built for the parking garage portion. So that's kind of where they're at to date. And this is looking like this is Lake Street right here. And then the next photo, this is Hawthorne Court. This is Francis Street Garage over here. So again, this is kind of the Hawthorne Court side of the building that we're guessing will be a portion of this project. Here's some more photos. So one of the other areas we may identify as being included in the RFQ is the bus terminal. So I just wanted to get a photo kind of giving you an idea of the height of that space. So this is looking northeast. So over here is kind of where a waiting room is going to be. And I wish I got a photo of it, but on the right side of this photo, you can't see it, but it's just a huge blank CMU wall. So just another idea, which I think is going to be included in the RFQ, is an opportunity for art. Similarly, photo of the same area, just kind of wanted to give you guys an idea of the size and scale. Keep mentioning Hawthorne Court. So here's a drawing of, or a photo of what Hawthorne Court looked like before the demolition. The issues we identified with Hawthorne Court were just like lack of daylighting, lack of like any sort of safety lighting, lack of kind of a good designation between where the public should be walking and where cars are. And so with the construction project, we're going to fix some of that by we increase the width of the sidewalk. We're adding some like construction lighting to the area. We are only going to build back half of the bridges. So I think that's going to open up that space a lot. But the other piece to that is we would love for this committee to look at this space as a large component of the RFQ. Like Mayor Rose mentioned earlier, I think this is a really connective space of downtown that's being underutilized. If anything, right now it just wasn't safe because it was so like dark and tucked away. And so I know every stakeholder that I've talked to really wants to see this space brightened and utilized. I mean, University and State Street are two like such important thoroughways of downtown. If we can have Hawthorne Court be something people actually want to use, I think that would be a huge benefit to all residents. This slide shows the timeline of the project. So something I didn't quite dive into, but mentioned is the city is building the parking garage, and then we've hired a developer to do the housing. So this pink part of the schedule is the city building the garage. And then the blue is the housing contractor doing the housing. There's an overlap starting in early 2025 where both contractors will be on site. But then for most of 2025 and 2026, it's just going to be the housing. So the housing is expected to be done May of 2026. We expect to, in the spring of 2026, do the reconstruction of Hawthorne Court. As mentioned to you guys earlier, we're going to widen that sidewalk. At the same time, we're also going to upgrade the utilities and just do a basic reconstruction roadwork project there. And that's also going to be finished end of May. Lake Street's also being reconstructed, or actually it was already, so this isn't accurate, I apologize. We already did that project. And then the Hawthorne bridges that are going to be built back are actually not going to happen until the summer of 2026. So especially that bridges piece, I think is important to you guys, because if the bridges are going to be a component of the RFQ, like something's going to be installed on them, obviously no one can do that work until those bridges are built. And similarly, if for some reason the bridges weren't included, I would still really stray away from spring of 2026 for any install, because we're still actively going to be finishing that project and people are going to be using Hawthorne Court to deliver furniture for the housing, a whole bunch of things. So install wise, we're hoping that things would happen post summer 2026, or we can talk about earlier. But again, I don't think that's quite as likely. I don't know if this has been shared with you, and I don't want to quick overstep, but I was going to quickly identify a few areas that as a construction team, we saw there were opportunities for art. So this is that same design of the first floor that I showed earlier. So Hawthorne Court is here on the right, identified that area as a place where I think art could be installed. The buses will drive up Hawthorne and through the bus terminal. So I think there's like some connectivity between possibly installing art in the bus terminal as well. This like dark pink line is really like a nice solid surface that goes all the way through that. If there's a reason or an ability to connect the art into the terminal, I think that's welcomed by the construction team. This purple area here is that bus waiting room we identified. There are some benches over there that could be a small art piece. The staircases could be something that we look at. This northeast stair and this southeast stair are both just servicing the garage. So there may be an opportunity there. And then this south wall is where cars actually enter the bus terminal. It's similarly just a really tall blank CMU wall. Again, this is at Hawthorne Court elevation that I think will be a focal piece of the RFQ. This pink wall up here is going into the bus terminal. So again, that like kind of like double height, long, tall, blank wall. And then similarly, this is the entrance to the parking, which is another just open space. So that is all I had to share today. But would welcome any questions. I know that I've been like in this thing for a year and a half, so I'm sure I glossed over things that are probably more complicated than I said. So feel free to let me know if you have any questions.
Yes, Peggy.
Back on slide, I believe it was 12. I think that there on the after that there are lights. It looks like maybe, I don't know how, are those lights adjoining the two buildings?
Yes.
Is that happening?
No. So I was actually like planning to maybe like scrub that out somehow because I don't know if building inspection would allow that. But no, that is not part of the project.
Okay.
We are only going to be installing lights, like exterior lights on the garage face.
Okay, that was
thanks
my
for asking
question
that.
With the fire department. And okay, thank
correct.
You.
Yes.
Catherine.
Yeah, on the south side of the garage, the wall that you were speaking about in terms of where people enter the garage and enter the, can you remind me just like, there's another building right south of that. And is there a little alley there? Like, I'm just kind of wondering how much, what would your vantage point of that wall be?
So I was actually mentioning the interior south wall is kind of what I was thinking. So it would be like this area right here.
Got it. Okay.
But you're right. So this exterior wall right here, there is some empty space. Like people park cars there. There are trash enclosures. The buildings get tighter over here, and there's only like a 18-inch space between those buildings, but this is enough space for a car. I can show you an elevation of that one. That is this face right here. So you probably would see that portion that isn't in an area we identified earlier as an area for art. But could always be reevaluated.
Great. Thank you, Maria. Does anyone else have any questions? All right. Fantastic. I appreciate it, Maria. Would you mind sending us that presentation and we'll upload it to the Legistar item for this meeting?
Yes, we'll do.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so this Maria's context really helps, I think, hopefully helps you guys understand the complexity of the project and the different players involved and why the timeline is so stretched out. And kind of the areas that we identify were really driven by like trying to focus on what do we think people using the building are going to see the most or using that area. And obviously Hawthorne Court was identified very early as a big has been known for a long time as a big problem spot. So that's sort of been our focus on for the RFQ, where our intention is to basically include all of the sites that could be potentially used for public art. And then once we have finalists selected and they're moving through proposals, they may work with multiple of these sites. So they may choose to identify it. Even it could be even like a wall treatment or a pattern or something that moves throughout the space. And I'll give a good example of that in a moment. But the next thing I was going to do on the next agenda item is just run through sort of the, I guess you could say, aspirational images, and just to kind of get you familiar with where we were going with the RFQ artistically and aesthetically. So very early on, as Maria mentioned, it was identified that this whole space feels extremely dark and that one of the goals is to kind of and use light as a medium in order to make the space feel more welcoming, more accessible, more vibrant. So that is one of the things we're going to be including in the RFQ, is that there is some type of light component, and that could be anything from, you know, actual colored lights. It could be projection. It could just be somebody, as you can see in the right side here, using like dichroic acrylic and shining light through it to create cast shadows or light. So there's a lot of options in terms of light as a medium. This does not have to be like a bunch of, we're not imagining a bunch of canister lights with different colored lights in it, right? So there's a ton of options here. It was very important to us that, because there's so many pedestrians here, that this be very pedestrian focused, because people are going to continue to walk through Hawthorne Court. But at the same time, we want it to be really accessible to those moving through that space on buses, on the regional buses, going into the bus terminal, with the caveat that, especially in Hawthorne Court, we need to encourage people to keep moving. So we don't want to create an artistic, you know, installation that people want to need to stand there for long periods of time to experience it, because that court is going to have buses moving through it all the time. And so we don't want to create, we don't want to encourage people to be hanging out in the space. This is encouraging people to move through, right? Use it as like a better pedestrian space. Moved around myself. There we go. We also want to make sure that we are engaging UW students, faculty and staff, and of course, neighboring residents and businesses as well, who are all impacted by this. And we will, especially for the next two meetings, which are really more about selecting finalists and reviewing proposals, we will promote those very broadly to the community, encourage people to register to attend. We'll also have surveys as well that we'll be pushing out. So we'll try to make sure that we have different access points. And one of the things we're also including in the RFQ, which I forgot to put on this slide, is we are going to ask that the finalists plan on doing some type of community engagement. So whether that's a workshop on campus with, you know, in the art department, or part of the, you know, maybe they present as part of the, you know, present to classes, or present as part of the UW colloquium series. It could be a lot of different things, but we want to make sure that there is some type of community engagement part, activity included as they're developing their final proposals. Okay, so these are just some general concepts. Most of these were pulled from public art projects like all over the world, not necessarily here, but the different types of things that are going on in terms of light as a medium around the world. So there's a lot of interactive pieces that use sensors like this, where as you move through, they change colors. There's also works that are just using something that's fluorescent and vibrant, that when you cast like a regular light on it, creates this effect of these very vibrant colors, but doesn't necessarily have to have, you know, really complex lighting schemes. There's also a lot of works that are incorporating sound into the piece. So this is a work called Sea Change, which has like underwater ocean sounds, and the lights change as you move through it. It does have sensors and it reacts to you. So it's sort of like you're moving underwater. This is an example of something that does not actually, that sort of plays with shadows in a really interesting way. So this is actually a parking garage in Bloomington, Indiana. I don't know if anyone's seen this in real life, but this is something that just, as the light shines directly through it, casts very interesting shadows inside the facility. This is a proposal that was actually done by UW Design Studies landscape architecture students in the open space design class in 2020. They used Hawthorne Court as a project to develop public art proposals and architecture proposals. And this is another example that used sort of LED strip lights throughout the space that had sensors. And as you moved through it, it was reactive. And they imagined having like a series of panels on the parking garage structure, which you can see here on the left, which is actually, I noticed in one of Maria's renderings, there were like art panels placed in on the garage. So that kind of aligns. It could also play with light, you know, just through these, through colored panels, like I mentioned before, that casts down. So, you know, and what does that look like during the day versus at night? So those are the things we're going to be wanting you guys to think really critically about once we have proposals to react to. This is another example of that. And then this is another example of like, so this is just a treatment on the streetlights. So this is just a filter over the streetlights that's creating these cast shadows. The other things we'll encourage you guys to think about as we're reviewing proposals is, safety. Do we want to make sure that the artwork that we are selecting is not creating a safety hazard? So how do we ensure that if we were playing with something like this, that it doesn't create too high of a contrast between dark and light spaces so that people can't hide, right? That's really important. So thinking about that. This is actually a work that is in Madison, that is a Madison Arts Commission project that's installed over on off of Old University Avenue near Pasture and Plenty, if you're familiar, in Lombardinos. And this was a project that came out of a class at UW Madison. This was actually another landscape architecture class, I believe, that they submitted proposals for this underpass, and the one of the proposals was so successful that the city acquired funding to implement it when this area was reconstructed. So this is these are just metal panels with light that shines outward. So we have a lot of options. And then this is a project that I wanted to briefly mention. This was technically our second project that had percent for art funds, but our first that or and I guess also our second that will be implemented, but Atwood kind of was faster and beat them out. But this is the Village on Park parking garage that's going to be on Park Street. This project was developed by Michael Ford, who's is known as sort of the hip hop architect. He has a very extensive experience with community engagement, specifically relating to bringing in people of color into the architecture dialogue and engaging with and he has a whole like hip hop architecture camp for students, and his project was a con is kind of twofold. So he developed this pattern, and this pattern was specifically inspired by colors within this corridor. The shapes were inspired by like the word South Madison broken up and then reconfigured into this pattern. And so on the outside of the garage, on this very visible corner, there's going to be this screen material, which you can see here. So this is actually a sample that just came in of what that's gonna sort of look like. But then this treatment, this pattern is going to be replicated inside throughout the building in the stairways, for instance, that people will use to access different floors and in the elevator. So this is a good example of how we want to give artists the opportunity to really react to all of the environment that they could use and see what proposals come out of that, and how do we like effectively create, a design that can kind of move throughout the space. So we have options. Okay, so I'm gonna stop sharing for a second and just see if anyone has any questions or comments on sort of our intentions with the RFQ and this idea of like how do we engage light. And yes, Peggy.
So, as many of you know, the 400 to 600 block experiment, right, saw some pink flamingos and colors on the, paint that we know didn't quite work out, but the color palette was there, right? I mean, this is only this project would be what, 5 or 6 blocks from that, assuming the experiment goes again. Is there any requirement, as a city to kind of pull those projects at least color-wise together, so we're all in sync?
That's a great question. We would not probably put that requirement on the artist into the RFQ, but we would offer it up as information that they could react to. So
Got it.
we're working on a project, for example, with the public market right now that I won't go into too much detail on, but there are two pieces that are going to be visible from a distance from one another. And what we've done is basically connect those teams and have them share their color palettes with each other so that they don't conflict. So while it might not pull in like exact colors, we will offer that up. Like these are the colors that planning identified for that State Street experiment. We encourage and invite you to use them, but it really is going to depend on what the project is and the concept for it, whether or not that makes sense. So that's something that you can keep an awareness as once we have proposals, and we could always provide that feedback to them.
Well,
Faisal, you're unmuted. Did you mean to say something?
yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yeah.
Yeah, so two things. One is the anticipated time of installation, because I think you mentioned colloquium as a
Yes, yeah.
potential space. That's a potential
Yeah,
place,
yeah.
and they normally are booking almost like a year ahead. And also the number of commissions that we're thinking about as well.
Great question. Yeah, so I'll talk about timeline in a moment when I have a slide for that, and I kind of wanted to get your guys' feedback. In terms of the number of of commissions. So our intention is for there to be like a artist or artist team that is using the vast majority of the funds on a single cohesive installation. So I, you know, where the which different surfaces that is and which different pieces, we're not exactly sure. We're also withholding some funds for some smaller projects, but the budget for that will be determined closer to once we have finalist proposals and we know where the budget for the larger project is going to land, if that makes sense. And so that's why as a project team, we identified a bunch of different sites. So if we have a finalist that, let's say, is working with just Hawthorne Court and the terminal, we may have some of our contingency funds used to do something on that public parking garage wall from a different artist. So does that answer your question?
Yep, that's fine. Thank you.
Excellent. And Catherine?
Yeah, I was just curious, kind of thinking about budget as well. Do we need to take into consideration the sustainability of any light and sound projects? Like, does the city take those over? And will, therefore, the city be weighing in on kind of what may or may not be possible? And how does that work?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So as part of this process, we will have a staff review. So when we come specifically for proposals, so once the finalists submit their proposals, we will run it by traffic engineering, planning division staff, really anyone who may be impacted long term by this, and they will have the opportunity to provide comments on that, which we will then bring to you in the hopes that you guys don't approve a project that staff don't see as feasible. Or that requires a ton of money to change the design in order for it to be accomplished. So that is really important to us. And all of our contracts for public art do require a long-term maintenance plan and a commitment that the project will last a minimum of 10 years. So they have to guarantee a minimum of 10 years. And then they have to turn in a maintenance plan upon the end so that we can maintain that. I do know that in terms of lighting and equipment and electrical equipment, there's been a lot of really amazing advancements, and a lot of the projects that I'm seeing, you know, are lasting significantly longer than they used to. but that's something we're going to need to take into consideration. So thank you. Yeah. Did that answer everything, Catherine? Excellent. Okay. Any other questions? And one other note, we are planning on withholding 10% of the total project budget to transfer to our maintenance fund as well for future maintenance needs. So we won't be just, you know, putting everything into this and then being short on funds if something happens in a few months. So, yeah. Okay, so then the final agenda item is to discuss the timeline. So I'm just going to show you a broad overview. So I've been discussing with, you know, with my supervisor and with other staff that, you know, we've gone through this percent for art process a couple times now, and we know that putting specific deadlines on things is extremely difficult when it comes to like community engagement. And we, you know, there's a lot of things that pop up that end up changing things. So what we're planning on doing right now is obviously, you know, Q4 was when you guys were appointed to the committee, which was significantly later than we anticipated. So everything takes longer at the city than we think it's going to. So we're planning on running the RFQ process in quarter one of 2025. And then in quarter two, we expect that we will have, you know, we'll get all of so I should clarify, we run a request for qualifications process. That's what RFQ is. So at this initial round, we are not asking for proposals. We are asking for applicants to share their past experience, their past portfolios, and you know why they think they would be a good applicant for this project. So we'll select finalists from that. Typically we select three, sometimes we select four. That's gonna be up to you guys to determine, and we'll kind of base that off of the scores. And so that our next meeting, you will have all of the applications sent to you in advance along with a score form, and you will send those to us before the meeting. And at that meeting, we will show the cumulative scores and we will discuss where they're falling, and then you'll vote and select finalists. After that, once the finalists are selected, we will pay them a design fee and the design process will begin. We will give them, you know, a minimum of 3 months to do their design work. And during that time, we will also invite them to do some type of community engagement. So to your point, Faisal, if we were going to ask them to be a part of a colloquium, we have a couple options if it's even realistic. It wouldn't be until fall of 2025. Or it would, if we engage with that, it might not be until we have the actual proposal selected, and it would be getting feedback on that in spring of 2026. But we'll have some other options for them. So there were some of the past projects that we had for other Percent for Art projects, you know, had like community painting days or, you know, community workshops at the library where people could come do some kind of hands-on thing with the artist and give them feedback on the project site. So there's a lot of options there. And then in Q3 or Q4 2025, that's when the designs will be turned in. We'll have a community meeting to review those proposals. So we will invite the public to join to attend this meeting and give feedback. They can register for public comment, et cetera. They can send in letters in advance. You will score and vote on a final design from those however many finalist proposals we have. And then we will also invite you to not just select that proposal, but give us feedback right then on any issues you may see. That could be, like as Peggy mentioned, concerns about conflicting colors with anything. It could be something like, hey, we don't want this aspect. We want you to put more funds into expanding this aspect. And then so that you have those options to, it does, you know, you don't have to necessarily take it at that moment exactly as it is. We have seen projects where the Arts Commission has given feedback. They've incorporated that into the design immediately, and then that's what goes to council for review, if that makes sense. Okay, and after that proposal is selected, we'll give them time to do any changes if there are any requested, and then we'll enter the contracting phase, which hopefully will go quickly, but sometimes can take a very long time at the city. That is a little bit out of our hands. So we'll just see how that goes. The goal is for the project to be installed in Q3, Q4, 2026. And we're planning on that being pretty far out because we were hoping that the artist wants to engage with the bridges that are being constructed. And those bridges are the very last thing to go in. And we also don't want an artwork installed on site. We don't want the artist to put a bunch of work and time into something and then have, you know, a construction crews there working and having to navigate around that or having to protect it. So our intention is to really make sure that when they're installing, they're working within areas that are completely finished and not at risk of, you know, being damaged. So that's the plan. But we hope that when they come back for install, there might also be opportunity, like another artist talk or during the opening celebration, there may be some kind of activity. Like there's a lot of options. So this is the proposed timeline. And the couple questions that I had, I know we have about 9 minutes left on our scheduled meeting, was, does anyone foresee, any issues in your personal calendars? And you can email this to me afterwards. You don't have to necessarily tell me right now. Are you planning on moving away during this time and becoming unavailable for those few meetings? So this would be, you know, a meeting in the spring and a meeting in the fall. So let me know if this is unrealistic for you, so we can be aware of any potential quorum issues. And any questions on this? Okay, I'm not seeing any questions. So I think that's our meeting, and I'll invite our new chair to close us out.
Thank you. Well, thanks everybody for meeting today. This has been wonderful to get this started. Would anyone like to motion to adjourn our meeting for today?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Seconded.
Wonderful. And let the record show that we're adjourning at 1:23, and we'll see you guys next time.
Great. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you. Great presentations.
Thank you. Bye-bye.